What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome you into another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm Daniel Schopter, your host, C70 at the bat, at C70, and also with me is Alan Medlock. From the Redbird Daily, a Medlock 1, both of us looking forward to next weekend when we will not be with you. We will be in St. Louis. We will be going to the annual blogger event, so we're looking forward to that. But for this week, we have a few things to talk about. It's been kind of an up and down week. Cardinals just have taken their second from the Reds to open up this series. You know, taking the first two of these and guaranteed at least a split in the series. Cardinals are also at the moment tied with the Brewers for second place, 2.5 games out of first, and are ahead of the Cubs in the standings. So you got to like that part at least, Alan. It's been, boy, I tell you, it just, this team still hasn't quite gotten its feet under it yet, it doesn't feel like.
It doesn't seem like it. They're playing better than... They haven't put all the pieces together yet. Every aspect of the game has at least played well, or shown that it can be really good at one point or another. And that gives me optimism to think that ultimately they're going to be hitting on all cylinders. I know that everybody wants to kind of look at the offense right now, and I think that there's just a situation of guys trying to do too much. Seems like Fowler had a lot of tough luck, especially starting in the homestand. Like he was hitting right at people, making a lot of good contact. And I think Ozuna's gripping the bat a little tight right now. So, I don't know. I'm pretty optimistic about it. The bullpen makes me feel really good. It's like you and I had talked about earlier. There's a large percentage, 8, maybe 9 of the teams in the National League are all in the same position of just teetering around 500. So, we can't jump to a lot of conclusions yet, because I think every team seems to be in the same boat. You know, you have New York playing well. Arizona seems to be playing pretty well. Then Pittsburgh's kind of surprised everybody. So, and then that's, at least you'll get them a lot head to head. Maybe more treading water, but I seem like they're close to really getting going.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. You know, because going into this season, everybody pretty much felt like the divisions were kind of locked down by three specific teams. And you look at the standings right now, and all three of those teams are under 500, and all three of those teams are sitting in fourth place. Nobody expected the Mets to be 11-1, especially not, the Cardinals do have their only loss there, so I guess that's something, I don't know. You wouldn't have expected, an Atlanta team to be 8-5. I mean, there's lots of things. I mean, you might have expected Cincinnati to be 2-11, but... other than that, there's a lot of things that are going differently, and it's not the way, after 2 weeks into the season, this is not how the end of the season is going to look at it by any means. But you're right. That means you can't get too worked up about how things are. Now, given the way last year started out, you would have liked to seen the Cardinals win more than they lose. But, they're back at 500. They got a solid chance of being over 500. I don't know about over 500, but at least 500 when they leave Cincinnati. Could be over 500. I don't know. I mean, there's flaws in this team. There's things that need to get going, but there's no real depression like there was last year when there were 3-9.
Sure, I completely agree with that. The one thing that I've really liked so far And a lot of people that are listening may not, but I also think a lot of the people that are going to gripe about the topic that I'm going to talk about, I think they're going to gripe no matter what it is. I like the fact that Matheny's doing the same lineup every day, trying to get everybody going, and is leaving it as is. He's patient, because it wouldn't have been like this last year. Now, of course, they started 3-9. There was a little bit of panic factor in that. This year, I think there's a little bit more patience. I think we can see that. And I'm glad to see that it's the same lineup. I was trying to explain that today when the lineup popped up. I was at work, and I was thinking, you know what? I really like that they're sticking with this. And we're seeing a lot of the same faces and trying to let some guys get out of slumps, trying to let some guys, you know, get their footing and do all the things that we say. I know that it may run guys in the ground. I think when Jericho gets back, I think we'll probably see a little bit more variation on that. But as it is right now, I kind of like that they're just staying with it and just pushing forward.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I don't know where I come down on that. I think there has been a lot of criticism of Matheny and not having that regular lineup, so I can understand them sticking with it. You know, that said, it's almost to a fault, you know. But, you know, on the other hand, if you had three hands, you know, these are the guys, these are your starters, and there's not like an obvious, especially with Jadurko out, not an obvious replacement. I mean, they had one game finally that, you know, had a lot of people sitting out. Bader gets in, Munoz gets in, things like that. But for the most part, these are the guys you want. And if those are the guys you want, those are the guys that are out there, that's the order you want them in. Let's see how it works. Now, we did have a Twitter question from Uncle Frank talking about how this lineup does look. And maybe we can just go ahead and tackle that here. You know, Fowler struggled a bit in the leadoff spot. Carpenter, you know, he had the big walk-off home run on Tuesday night, but has not necessarily been tearing it up in the three spot either, and still seems to be, and I did not get around to reading the article by, I believe it was Zach over at Birds on the Bat about Matt Carpenter, and I meant to do that before we got started today, so I need to catch up on that, but it doesn't feel like Matt Carpenter's, he's still having that leadoff mentality while he's hitting in the three spot. So even though they're staying, you know, rigidly to this lineup, is there a time where they're going to want to switch this? I know we've talked about this lineup and the order and stuff a lot in the offseason, but now that we're getting some results, do they need to think about that at some point in time? And you know, like I said, not necessarily tomorrow, but, you know, beginning of next month or something.
I hope they let it go out until it's a dire situation where they're just producing no runs. To me, a lot of the situations, like they really struggle in bases loaded situations. A lot of that is mental. It tells me the guys are just trying to do too much. I think you can really see it with Ozuna a lot. He swings at a lot of pitches out of the strike zone, and they're a lot of those are early in the counts. You know, just trying to jump on something and drive it. You know, he has 17 hits. You know, we can't really complain too much. I mean, he's in the top of the National League right now. You know, there's only two or three ahead of him, and that's just in the past couple of days. So we can't really complain about that. I don't necessarily mind the leadoff mindset out of Carpenter right now, taking pitches, getting on base, because that's kind of the point. If they're going to walk him, then Ozuna's going to make you pay. You know, there was a situation tonight where it was a 3-1. It was actually that double where they had to come to Carpenter and he made him pay. And that's where I think he's going to benefit from this. I like the fact that I know that he's gotten thrown out on two of these, but Fowler adds something out of the leadoff spot. And I feel like he's coming around too. And he has been a slow starter throughout his career. He's had one big April, but that was the one big year he had in Colorado. So his bat played all year. I'd love the fact that, you know, he went first to third in kind of a bad situation today, but they were up five and it was worth taking the chance. I think he's a really good base runner. And I think that adds to it. I know that statistics say that it doesn't, that base running is probably the most minimal of all the benefits, but I think that there adds an excitement to it to where I liked Carpenter's leadoff man to get on base, but that's all he did. You would also have that argument that he had the most at-bats throughout the season because he led off. But I don't think you lose that much with him hitting behind two high OBP guys and in front of a guy that can just mash. So I think the offense, I think this is their best configuration of a lineup. And I know that people will argue with that. And I just think it's the narrative that Carpenter can't hit out of the leadoff spot. I'm a firm believer that he's going to have a big year. I think he's going to get back to the 35-40 doubles ways. And at that point, after a slow, 14 to 17 days, he could catch fire when the weather gets warm. Another thing on the offense, and sorry to ramble on this, they haven't had any hitting weather at all. Last year, the coldest in their first 11 games, and I'm going to do that because that's where the weather's kind of broken since they left St. Louis. But I guess it's going to get cold this weekend in Cincinnati. But back to my point. The coldest day they had last year was 53 degrees, and it was in St. Louis against Chicago, the third game of the year. By the 10th game of the year, they already had three games that were right at 80 degrees. The warmest they played in up until Thursday night was 64 degrees inside. They played in three games that were in the mid-30s, and the rest have been in the 40s and low 50s. That makes a huge difference. And I think that's why we're seeing – I saw something was attributed to maybe the change in baseball, which we're always going to hear that. But I think a lot of this has to do with the unseasonably cold weather so far.
Well, it can't help any, for sure. They've also played some very good teams so far. You and I have talked about it. They've played the Mets, who haven't lost to anybody else except for the Cardinals this year. And two of their best pitchers. They played a Milwaukee team that, is sitting at .500 right now, which is where the Cardinals are. They played them twice. And you could argue they should have done better against Milwaukee, and I think that's a fair argument. But still, Milwaukee's a pretty decent team. And then they played Arizona, which is leading their division as well. They're playing extremely well. I mean, it's just now, this week, where they're getting into the Reds and, a team that is not good at all, that they're finally getting to – they're doing something with that result. So, I know. I just pulled up Dexter Fowler while you were talking about him a bit ago. This time, after 14 games, he was hitting .143 last year. He did have a – and that was the next day he had a 3-for-4 with two homer game. But it started to come around a little bit. But he's got a slow start last year, a little bit warmer this year, I think, especially after tonight. I'm kind of like you. I think I'd like to leave Dexter there unless it really gets bad, just because I know they don't steal that much, but that extra speed is valuable. And I will say, I don't think, especially that second time, I didn't see the first one, but the second time that Fowler tried to go for third tonight, he had no business doing that one, because that was just a regular single up the middle. I mean, he was throwing by like 20 feet. I don't really know what he was thinking there, but on the whole, I mean, it if you're smart about it, that having that extra speed there is a good thing. But I'd really like them to ride this out, and like you said, not necessarily panic about it. And that doesn't look like what Matheny's going to do. Whether it's because he's being just holding a steady hand, or he's just going to spite everybody, I don't know, but. Whatever the case, I can't imagine the last time the Cardinals had basically the same lineup, 10 out of 14 days or whatever, because Tony La Russa never did that, and Mike Matheny hasn't been doing that. So this is weird, I think, for Cardinal fans to see something. It's one thing when six or seven of the guys are pretty much the same thing, but when eight of the positions are exactly the same, it's strange.
I'm curious with the schedule and how it works out. He's hot right now, so that'll be another reason to play him. But when will Molina's next Sunday would seem to be like a pretty good off day opportunity for Molina. But he's hitting well, and I don't think they're going to take the bat out of his hands right now.
Well, and I mean, it's an afternoon game tomorrow, so it's an afternoon game Sunday, so it's not a day game after a night game.
Bye. Well, and then and we're looking at the day, the off day on the 19th anyway. I was going to say he's not going to sit in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just thought there may be one of those, one of these two that he may sneak a day off. But he's homered in back-to-back days. He's really seeing the ball well, so I don't think you can sit him right now.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he probably plays tomorrow if the Cardinals win tomorrow. Well, he might sit Sunday, like you said, so he can be fully ready to go for the Cubs. But, you know, it's Yachty. He sat Wednesday,
and,
so...
Well, and what can be considered a game off for him is he only caught 7 innings last night, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Pretty close. Okay. To that. So that, I mean, we may see him take a day off while we're there. You know what I mean?
I hope not. I mean, no. It's possible though. I think the one was, I know we saw Tony Cruz show up. Although I don't think he started one of those vlogger days because we talked about how we would like to be Tony Cruz because you know.
Yeah.
Take 3 at bats a month, and you're all right. And
he's sandwiched in and off days on the 19th and the 23rd. That so we may see him for a while.
I imagine he'll play all that that Red Series in St. Louis. There's really no reason to rest him, but and he very well may. Like I said, he had Wednesday off, and had a little bit off on it yesterday. He could play all the way through.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree.
Wouldn't be a huge deal. So, and you're right. It's good to see him. 5 home runs already, which is, you know, all of us expected Yachty to slow down. And we knew he hit well last year, but and he still may. I mean, there's still obviously plenty of time for that to happen. But I think there are some people that probably didn't think he'd have 5 home runs this season. And to have 5 home runs all by now is, you know, it's pretty impressive. And again, like you said, with him not being able to get out of the lineup, it just reiterates it's a good thing Carson Kelly's not here because I think they would use Carson Kelly a little bit more than they will use Francisco Pena, but not significantly.
I completely agree with that. That's right. I mean, I'm curious to see how the Kelly situation plays out. That'll be something that we have to watch over the summer because, I mean, they just can't bring him up to sit, and I think that it's now just – we know for a fact that that's just how it's going to happen.
Yeah, somebody pointed out on Twitter today with the Mets losing their catchers that you know, this might be a time to maximize what you can get for Carson Kelly. And I don't know. I don't think the Mets are looking to do that, and I don't think the Cardinals are either. But it was an interesting proposition to contemplate in a few minutes. Let's talk a little bit about something else that came out of today's game. Again, this is recording this Friday night. Mm-hmm. Cardinals won 5-3 tonight, and it was being that it was 5-3, save opportunity. And yet Greg Holland doesn't come into the game. Obviously, this has been an interesting first week for Greg Holland, who was obviously not ready Monday, walking 4 of the 5 batters he faced, and the only one that didn't walk, sacrifice bunted. Pitched Wednesday, walked the first batter, then Heather got an out and a double play. So we saw Mike Matheny put Holland into an important situation on Monday, and I don't really fault Matheny for putting him in there.
No.
I do think he should have pulled him faster than he did.
Sure.
But what do you think the explanation is for not going ahead? I mean, at some point in time, Holland's got to get out there in that, you know, closer-type situation. And it feels like, I mean, yeah, you can have Norris ready to go, but if you want Holland to kind of get his feet under him, playing against the Reds is a good way to do it.
Yeah, I was glad he didn't throw tonight. I just think I didn't – the uncertainty of that ballpark – I was glad they went with Norris. I wanted to see him get his first Cardinal save, Holland that is. But I was glad they didn't because I was a little nervous about the end of the game, especially with the fact that, you know, Barnhart beat him. It was like Barnhart and Schlebler beat him like back-to-back nights in the same type situation. It was the year before last. And I was like, I just don't want to see that happen again. I kind of want to beat them when they're down. Just kind of build some momentum going into Chicago, you know, maybe be above 500 and all that stuff. But going back to the point, I was kind of glad to not see him tonight, and I get it. Where I kind of wish – I'm torn on this one. I wish we would have seen him for an inning last night. but I'm glad that we saw Myers for three. You know, so I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth on that. I hope there's some innings that are built up. I ultimately think Holland's going to be the team's closer. I do. I don't have any questions about that. But here in a little while, he may take that role of what Norris was going to be, and maybe what Gregerson was planned to be, of being a 6th, 7th, 8th inning guy to get to be a fireman in those innings and let Norris take some save opportunities here for the short term until he gets his legs underneath him. So I don't mind seeing that at all.
Yeah. Trying to read. Garrett Gould's got a bit of an article here on this whole situation, and trying to see if there was any kind of quote from Matheny. I don't see it. I don't know. There's embedded video. I can't exactly watch that right now.
Well, I watched the his post game, mm-hmm. and that was everybody was asking, and Matheny kind of shrugged it off, and he just said, "Well, he goes, we threw him out Monday. He just wasn't as sharp as he wanted to be," and he said, looking back on it, he goes, "We even think Greg would look back on it that probably wasn't the best thing to do, but that's where we are. That's this is going to be his spring training here for a little while, and we're just going to find some opportunities to get him loose now," which leads to a bigger question of, do we trust Matheny to do that? But that's where I hope I hope this isn't just a total disaster all the way around, which I don't think it's going to be. But even Holland said that. Holland had a quote of saying, "Hey, I'm not sharp, and I've got to get there. So we just want to win ball games." You know, one of those type deals.
Yeah, and I mean, that's always a good thing. I mean, and the Cardinals do have a lot of guys that can do that. But you know, I get this. I see this a lot on Twitter, and maybe there's some truth to it. I mean, maybe there's some justification to it. But there's a lot of people that complain about the fact that Holland signed on opening day. They feel like the Cardinals should have, if they wanted to do this, should have done this early enough that mm-hmm. he could have played with the team and been ready by the time the season rolled around. My feeling is, and again, we don't know, maybe we'll ask Mo next week, but my feeling on that is you're assuming that Holland would sign for $15 million in one year.
I've got a rebuttal completely on that, mm-hmm. but go ahead. Well, you know exactly where I'm going with it.
I would say you don't know that, you don't know when the price dropped, because he wasn't going to sign a $14 million one-year deal in December. Probably wasn't in January. Good chance he wasn't in February. It wasn't that the Cardinals just had to have him, but as the clock continued to tick and it got closer to it, they put an offer out there, and he may have decided he wanted to play, and that's when he accepted it. We assume, well, the Cardinals always wanted him, but they lowballed him until whatever. I think it was just one of those opportunistic, grabs mm-hmm. of, hey, he's out there. We're here at the end of the spring, and we got guys we like, but we don't necessarily know if they're going to be closers. You know, let's see if we can make a deal. So I can't fault the club too much for the fact that Holland is just now getting started.
Yeah.
But it does make for a difficult, I don't know why they didn't take a little bit more time. Move him up to Springfield,
mm-hmm.
Instead of just 10 days in the minors, why not go ahead and do 15, 20 days?
Sure.
However you can, so he's ready to go when you actually have him in the big leagues.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's Bill DeWitt was on with Bernie the morning, opening day, and it was that morning. And the home opener. And he was asked about that. And he didn't get into financial terms, but did clearly say that we've been working on this for a while. We just weren't going to go more than 1 year. His camp wanted multi-years, and we weren't going to do it. So I'm assuming that it fell into their lap on opening day, and I'm sure they had a figure in mind money-wise, and that's where they were going to set. And they were like, hey, we'll give you this, but it's for 1 year, and that's how it's going to go. And I think it kind of fell in their lap. So I agree with you. Can't really blame the club on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an optimal situation. It's not ideal. But it's better than having Greg Holland for 3 years, I think. because I don't think anybody wants to see a closer signed for that long. So we saw Norris come in. There were a lot of interesting bullpen decisions this week, especially early on in the week. But you can't really argue with a lot of what Matheny's done over the last two or three days. And for the most part, they've been successful. Norris made it interesting, but got the save. And you know, lots of people were so down on Norris after a couple of bad spring outings. But he's not done anything but been effective since the calendar turned over. And really, he was pretty good in the spring, too. They were just kind of some skewed numbers.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think he's looked really good. He had a broken bat single tonight, and then a walk that kind of got a little shaky. But, boy, on the strikeouts, he looked really good. One was an off-speed that just completely froze the guy. And then he went high up on Barnhart and really blew him away. And it was impressive. I kind of like Norris. Like I said to you several times this week, I'm really growing to be bullish on this bullpen. They could be really good. I'm more concerned about if Gregerson's going to mess up the flow than anything at this point. You know, that's we keep forgetting that Cecil's going to come back at some point. We think so. I don't know. I just think they're going to be really good.
Yeah, I mean Gregerson pitched tonight. I'm not sure if he was still at Palm Beach or where he was rehabbing at, but one inning. Or did he go? Did he go one inning or two innings? I think it was one inning. Struck out two. I think he may have given up a hit. But otherwise, he's looked. I mean, he's had a couple of outings now in the minor leagues and has looked pretty good. And the Cardinals most likely will activate him on Monday as they go into Chicago. Which means
somebody's got to go.
Well, and there's very limited options. That probably means, and it may be one of the reasons they pitched Mike Myers three innings last night was one, they knew he was fresh, as Mike Matheny said, because he hadn't been used in the big leagues and hadn't had a chance to be used in the minor leagues. But also the fact that he wasn't going to be used. I mean, he was going to go down. Because he's about the only guy with options. I mean, Sam Tuilavala is on the DL, so they're not going to waive him because he has no options. There's really not any other choice but to send Myers back down, which has got to be frustrating for him trying to figure out what he can do to stay in the big leagues. But
yeah,
there's just too many reliever arms.
Yeah, it does really stink, and as much as I hate to say it, as big of fans as we are, is there something wrong with the patron?
Well, before we get into that, I will say, I keep forgetting, John Brebbia is up, so Brebbia could go down.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Instead.
Which he looked really good last night, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, no matter who goes down, it's a person that could pitch in the big leagues. We talked a little bit about that on Twitter tonight. Yeah. Tyler Lyons lets up, I think he walked a guy, well, it was walked Billy Hamilton, which is always a problem, and apparently something that everybody did tonight. They bunted him over to second, which again makes no sense to me. Just like
I thought that was a great point, by the way, on your tweet.
And then Joey Votto got a base hit, which Joey Votto's very good against anybody.
Sure.
And the lefty-lefty thing doesn't affect him probably as much as he does some others. So it happens. But to your point, I mean, yeah, he's not looked quite as sharp this year as I would like to see it. Although this was the only, he's only given up runs, actually been charged with runs. I don't know if he's given up inherited runners. I'd have to look that up. But the one game in Milwaukee back like April 3rd, where he gave up two runs in a third of an inning, that's it. So his ERA is, his ERA is 4.76. But, yeah, those three of those runs have come in two outings. And for the most part, he's looked okay, but not necessarily great. But then, I don't know. He doesn't feel like he's being...
Time
used right either.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
And maybe that's a maybe that's Matheny knowing that there's something a little off on him and trying to make sure that he gets right before he's dropped into the seventh or eighth or whatever. But it's also the fact that they've got a lot of different arms that right now if everybody gets going, you got to figure Holland is your nine and Norris is your eight. You hope your starter goes six. So you've got like all these arms, Leon and Lyons and. If Tui's out there.
Somebody who we've deadpanned all year and has actually been fantastic is Bowman.
Bowman has been better. Bowman goes in his
first. He's looked really good the last week and a half.
Yeah. I think, again, and it's not what. They didn't really say this on the broadcast tonight. They kind of go on a way with it. But my point of Bowman, and I think over everybody's point with Bowman. Bowman is fine. Bowman is not a bad pitcher. Bowman just needs to, one, not pitch every day, and two, come into clean innings. I think that's the key. You bring Bowman in with a runner on first and nobody out, there's a good chance something's going to happen. He's going to give up because he pitches to contact, and so he's going to give up a hit somewhere along the way. If somebody comes in, you go, got a runner on second. If somebody moves that runner over, then their hit comes and boom. Run scores. He has gotten a few more strikeouts than I think I was expecting this year.
Yeah, very true.
He threw something that was pretty nasty this evening, and I forget which Reds batter it was, but it was like, wow, where'd that come from? But I still think, and again, we saw it was earlier in the week. I think it was Monday night where Bowman came into that game with a runner on, and I think it was runner on second even. It's like you're just asking for trouble there.
Yeah, it's going to find a hole.
Yeah. But since then, I feel like the bullpen decisions, while somewhat dictated by the fact that the way the games have gone, have been a lot stronger over the last three or four days where it's like, okay, I get that. I'm not going to argue with that one. Or even if I would have picked player X, I can understand why you're picking player Y. Unlike Monday and Tuesday, when the decisions made absolutely no sense.
I hate that it's always that. We always have that that caveat in everything we, in all these decisions. So, yeah, I mean, it's not. It worries me that yes, the bullpen's good, but boy, it's going to be crowded, and I'm afraid we're going to be saying that. Worried about usage more than anything.
Yeah, and I think, again, you'd like to think, maybe Mike Maddux will start influencing the way we think he should be influencing, whatever the case may be, but I'd like to think that if they can regularly turn the eighth inning over to Norris and the ninth inning over to Holland, and you're only covering, mainly the sixth and seventh, or, maybe just seventh, that even if you're throwing Bowman, you're only throwing him once every couple of days because you just don't need to. And I'm hopeful that these guys will engender that trust that is needed. We saw Sam Atulola right before he went on the DL throw two scoreless innings, which I never would have thought that Sam would have thrown two innings this year. That wasn't in a game, like yesterday's game when it was 13-4, something like that. Maybe we'll see some growth there. Maybe we'll see some, real creativity and real, ability, because you should be able to space most of those guys out a lot more and not overuse them, and that's only got to be better. But I feel like right now, especially after Gregerson comes back, that there's not going to be that pitcher on scholarship that's just sitting around.
Which I can't stand.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there are enough arms out there that Matheny's not going to have to save that guy, because if a starter goes to the second inning and that's it, some of those guys can go cover some innings. I think he knows, hey, look, I hope that he knows, let's put it that way, that he doesn't have to have a Mike Meyer sit out there because he can go three innings. The bullpen can handle it. I don't know if that's the case or not. Maybe I'm wishful thinking there, but I hope that with all these new arms and arms that he trusts, arms that are reliable, that's what we'll see, is we'll see him not be too afraid to at least bring in a Leon with the runner on in the sixth, or, you know, a guy like Lyons or some of the other guys that are out there that can, you know, get a strikeout or whatever. He's not afraid to use them in a situation because he doesn't have to worry about holding them back for the eighth and ninth.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, that's I was breaking down. I was just like, I'm going to go off the top of my head and to figure out what bullpen I think that they really want. And it's I was surprised we didn't see Hicks tonight. You know, a little bit. So that I just looking at it, it's going to be interesting. I like your line of thought there, because I like how there's structure, and you know what's going to come here, and you can use Leon as that fireman. But you know, I just hope it sticks to that plan. And you know, we're going to have injuries, and there's going to be all kinds of stuff. You know, that's I looked at it, and you know, Brevia and Myers are just the odd men out, you know, if everybody's healthy. So I know. I mean, it's interesting. It's really fun to see everything fall into place, but it seems like Bowman does get a lot of those extended looks that some of the other guys don't get.
Yeah. On Hicks, my wonder if I'm hopeful that, you know, Hicks went, what, two innings? What was it against? Was it against the Brewers? Was it the Carlos Martinez start? And he went two innings after Carlos left? Something like that. I may be wrong. But he did go two innings just recently. And I'm not sure that he's pitched since then. I'm wondering if there are not some significant discussions between the front office and Mike Matheny
about Hicks. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Where it's like, if you throw him for two innings, he gets 4 days off afterwards or whatever it might be. And you can't throw him more than X number of innings or X number of times in a week span or something like that. I can't believe they would just completely turn over this, you know, young developing talent to a guy that has destroyed, you know, some arms. And I guess every manager has done some of that, but there is a line of Rosenthal and Sechrist and others that have really either bombed out or been hurt. You don't trust Jordan Hicks to him without a few training wheels. I hope that's what we're going to see. I don't know that for a fact, but that's kind of what I'm hoping for. And
yeah,
that might explain why he didn't pitch either last night or tonight.
Yeah, very true.
So, boy, it feels like there was something else we were going to talk about. Oh, well, yes, there was Adam Wainwright.
I knew you throw that out, we'll be all right. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's always a topic we can discuss.
That's true. You know, I think Adam Wainwright is going to be a topic for quite some time. Adam threw seven innings, three runs against the Brewers. One of those was two of those were home runs, one of which barely cleared the fence. Bader had it in his glove, and it just kind of slipped out. It just couldn't pull it back. Took him, I think it took him less pitches or right about the same number of pitches to throw seven innings as it did to throw 3.2 the timeout before. He had runners on second and third at one time, and he gave up just one with nobody out, I think, and he just gave up with the one run. It's not vintage Adam Wainwright, but boy, if you see more of that, you don't. I know Jack Flaherty may be better. I know Jack Flaherty's doing great in Memphis, and he had another great start tonight. But if he can do that on a regular basis, and I think that's asking a lot, you want him on your team.
Yeah. I mean, that's that veteran presence that you want. That was the game that like you and I were talking about. I didn't get a chance to see too much of it, just being on Facebook, and I was out and about running around. Did not get a chance to see too much. So I can't say that I actually even saw any of Waino throw. So, didn't want to get into it. But, yeah, looking at the box, I mean, I was I was impressed. Guys that I trust seem to be fairly impressed, and you know, it's definitely a step in the right direction. Kind of what we thought. I mean, it's good. We're gonna have a few of these. We may have a clunker every fifth or sixth one, but you know, this is probably what we're gonna get.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that there's gonna be a lot of uncertainty. There's gonna be two or three good starts followed by a real bad one, and you know, every time there's a bad start, everybody's gonna want Flaherty back up here, and that's understandable. But if I think, you know, Adam Wainwright has shown that he's got this kind of game in him, and the question is now going to be how often he can produce it. And again, he didn't have to go seven. I was stunned that he went seven innings, even with the pitch count the way it was. But if he can go six, he can give you a quality start of three earned runs in six innings almost every time he's out there. I think you take that without any problem, because that's,
yeah, sure,
that's significantly, that gives your team a chance to win, and that's all you can hope for.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious to see his next start, which is going to line up in Chicago, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm actually really looking forward to that series this week. I really like the Cardinals Cubs series more geared toward the weekends. So the Monday through Wednesday is going to be a little bit odd, but I'm kind of curious to see how that one plays out, and ready to see his start there. And, you know, maybe he can find a way to keep them at bay and pull out a win.
Yeah, the problem with Wainwright is over the last few years, especially, that his numbers at home are significantly better than his home on the road. And that is not a pitcher's park unless the wind is blowing in. It's a dangerous combination. I will say that. Doesn't mean he can't navigate it a little bit, but it's a little bit scary to think about him out there. So hopefully it'll work out. If not, we'll spend another 5 days arguing about Jack Flaherty, and then we'll see it again.
Because
he's
going to
get another, you know, he's proven that with this last start, he's going to get 2, 3, 4 more starts at least, I think, to see if he can replicate that again.
Sure. Yeah, kind of going back to last week, I wanted to say something. I don't think any of us between you, Kyle, or myself was indicating that he was going to be released. Mm-hmm. I knew that there was some pushback on the Twitter account that it seemed like that's what we meant. I don't think any of us said that. If we did, that's not necessarily what we were thinking. It was more of a where is the line drawn, and what do they do? You know, and I don't think there was by any means they're going to give him his walking papers. This organization has surprised me in the past. This is one that I just don't think. I mean, he's borderline. You know, I don't know. What I was going to say would not have made any sense. But that's just not the. I don't think that's the route that we were trying to go last week, is what I was trying to say.
No, I mean, they're not going. I mean, Adam Wainwright's done too much to this organization if he released.
Yeah.
The best you can hope for is that they would negotiate, you know, some sort of retirement package or something like that. But, you know, there was also that idea that I mentioned, I think, to Tara on Gateway last week. You know, if you have to make him that eighth man in the bullpen that Matheny never uses.
Yeah.
Assuming Matheny could not use him. Kind of a best of both worlds situation there, but... I don't know. I think that, like I said, that situation's going to probably be ugly all year long, just from the side, the people that are taking sides on it already. And I think there are some people that are never going to be satisfied with whatever.
Well, yes.
Hmm?
No, I completely agree with that. I knew I was... we'll just stop it right there, but no, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that.
Yeah, so that's... That's going to be interesting to watch this year. Who else has been interesting to watch has been Luke Weaver. We'll go back to him as we start getting towards some of the end of this. Weaver threw again tonight. Didn't allow a hit until a fairly questionable play at first base. The first time I saw it, I thought it was clearly a hit, and then some of those replays looked like it was clearly out, but... ruled it a hit, although it probably could have been an error on... I guess it didn't pull him off, so it probably wasn't going to be an error on DeYoung. It wasn't a great throw. And then I guess he got into the seventh, didn't get anybody out there. But right now, so far in three starts, Weaver's been the best and most consistent starter the Cardinals have.
Oh, yeah. That's, and I'm glad to see it. I thought he deserved the win in the game on Sunday. And I was excited about going for that Arizona series win with him on the mound. I thought he did his part. I thought he looked fantastic in spring. And I was really, really looking forward to his start of the season. And I'm really high on Weaver right now. He has that I belong feel, and maybe more so of I belong and I'm in the running for best pitcher on this team. That gives me a lot of optimism moving forward. And I've just been super excited about him all year.
Yeah, I like what we've seen out of him. And I know there's that idea, and I'm sure that people like Joe Schwartz, and I don't know if Kyle subscribed to the theory or not, but he probably may have, that Flaherty was better than Weaver, that if you're going to trade somebody, it's Weaver. Not that Weaver wasn't going to be effective or good, but, you know, Flaherty was better and all that. And I don't want to say any of that's not right or true, but I think we're seeing just right now why the Cardinals are so high on Weaver, that they want to keep him around. And when you see this, and you start thinking, like 2019 with Martinez and Reyes and Weaver and Flaherty, and you'd have Mikolas, I guess, as the fifth starter. And that's in a rotation that could get you excited. And so much of it, pretty much all of it, homegrown.
Yeah. Very, very impressive. Just like we talked about, I felt like at the end of last year, with he and Martinez, you could really look strong in a short series. And it looked like you could looks like you could compete. And that's, they could have three or four of those guys here soon. And they may have three or four of them this year. Mm-hmm. If Reyes comes back, the year removed from Tommy John probably won't be as strong, but he could be. And Flaherty looks like he's kind of taking that Weaver path to where he could be next in line. So the future is bright on the pitching side, without a doubt.
Yeah. And that's a good thing, because that's where, you know, that's the biggest part of the game these days. It feels like if you've got good pitching, you got a significant chance to win, and so far so good. Like you said, Cardinals take on the Cubs this week for three games, and they have a day off, and then they get the Reds again on the weekend, except we'll be there to see that. It's the first chance the Cardinals have to look at the Cubs and vice versa. What are you thinking? What are your matchup? I mean, I know we've talked a little bit about Wainwright being in that matchup, but overall, what do you think is going to come out of this?
I think it's a good early season test, measuring stick for both teams. I watched a little of the Cubs and Pirates the other day, and you know, their lineup's one of those that could turn on. They're not the same without Rizzo, I will say that. I mean, that's a big key, but they still have Bryant, and he's a tough out, and you know, Contreras didn't play that day, but I'm not sure how he's looked so far, and I haven't really followed a lot of their stats. I know that they're teetering around 500, and it seems like they've had a lot of controversy this year, you know, behind the Hurdle, Baez, and Madden situation, which Madden always seems to be getting in the middle of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just kind of seem like all year, just reading the headlines, that they're trying to get back on track and try to start playing a little bit better. So, I don't know. I kind of like it. Like I said, it seems a little odd I don't know why, and it may in history, their first few series have been midweek, but it seems like they're always that staple of a weekend series. Mm-hmm. So it'll be kind of cool to see early in the year, just to kind of see where both teams are.
Yeah, I think it's a good measuring stick, because if they could take two out of three, that might tell them something. Might not.
Yeah.
Probably a good idea. All right, well, I know we're a little bit short of our normal time, but Alan, is there anything else we haven't touched on you'd like to talk about?
No, I think we've wrapped up everything pretty well leading into this weekend.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us then. Like I said, we will not record next weekend, although we are trying, planning a show the Monday after we get back with Tara Wellman from Gateway to Baseball Heaven with me. So we'll have a joint show on that off day, the 23rd, as we can talk about, you know, what we learned at Blogger Day and all the stuff that go along with it. So until then, I'm Daniel, and that's Alan. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.